Good evening and welcome to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, I'm the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget you can always download the Guardian Radio app by going to the App Store or Play Store, and you can carry it around in your pocket all day. But we are always very pleased when you tune in on Wednesday to hear about your cultural community. Also, we have the streaming button on the website and even the old school radios. You can go to 96.9 if you know what a dial is. So this evening, I have a semi-international visitor in the studio, a Bahamian American with us, who's been down to work with some of our students. And that is Arnold Kemp, who is the Dean of Graduate Studies at the School of the Art Institute of Chicago. So welcome home, Arnold.
Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening. So first, before we go to talk about your work, you're also a practicing artist. You've actually even exhibited at the National Art Gallery as part of our national exhibition. Tell the audience just a little bit about you, like how you're connected to the Bahamas, how you became an artist, and then ended up as a dean of graduate studies.
Sure. So my father is named Howard Kemp, and he's actually going to be 93 by the time this airs, which I think is amazing. I talked to him the other day about surviving like British colonialism, and then, you know, he moved to the U.S. to go to school, so he also survived American racism.
And when was that, like in the 50s?
I would say in the 50s. Yeah, yeah. He met my mother, whose family's from Trinidad, but she grew up in Panama. They met in Chicago, and they raised our family in Boston. And our whole family, we've all frequently come to the Bahamas while I was growing up. And I think having parents who were really interested in language a lot, like my father really raised us on going to plays and Shakespeare, and always an emphasis on the English language in our home, was a big part of my becoming an artist, I think. I also have a sister who's a theater artist and a writer, and actually I write also. But my main interests are in like...
Was she maybe in one of Kareem's movies? Do I remember that?
Oh, correctly? Yes. Margaret Kemp was in Children of God, which I think is Kareem Mortimer's first feature, and Kareem heard about Margaret through me. I was visiting the island and was visiting an old friend of my father's who grew up with my father, the musician Eddie Minnis.
The white guy or the black guy?
The white guy.
Minnis, yeah. Eric Minnis.
Eric Minnis.
Yeah.
Old
friend. He's like a calypso
yes,
songwriter.
Amazing. Yeah. Wonderful guy, lives half the year in Canada, I think, and half the year in the Bahamas now. But he grew up with my family and knows my entire family. And I was visiting him and his wife, and he told me about Kareem, and Kareem came to visit. And I said, oh, and he told me what he was working on. I said, you should meet my sister. And that is actually how it all happened. I think it's really interesting. Maybe it's a Bahamianism of mine, but I'm not particularly self-promoting. People are always saying that I'm always promoting other artists, and I do that, I think, and knowing that, believing or trusting that other artists are also going to help me.
Yeah.
So I think of myself really as being involved in the areas of painting, drawing, sculpture, printmaking, and some photography. And
you told me you were also a poet, though.
Oh, I write quite a lot and have published a lot. The Bahamian poet Christian Campbell is my cousin, actually. And so my family, all the time I'd come here, they'd say, you really need to meet Christian. You really need to meet Christian. And finally...
Because your mother was a Campbell, right?
His mother's a Campbell. And my father's... mother is Margaret Campbell.
Oh, that's right. Your father's mother. That's right. Because you told me that your grandfather and grandmother are buried in St. Matthew's.
Yes.
Yeah.
And my father was born in Cat Island. So I don't know how all this adds up to me being an artist, but I feel like growing up partly in the States, it had something to do with being in the States, but not being of the States. You know, always sort of seeing the world in a different lens allows me to be really expressive and sort of adamant about expressing my freedom and my own unique identity
and perspective
on things. And you know, especially when it comes to making images or objects. And recently I've been working a lot with images that look like masks, which I relate.
Recently, I remember already quite some time ago.
Well, I was going to say
more, that was more literal. You were
I was going to say that, but even going way, way back, even work that you might not have seen that I made in the 90s were drawings of African masks, just drawings.
You know, what's really interesting, Arnold, is that, and I don't say this in any way, I know artists like hate it when, oh, you know, who else does that? Or, you know, but in Bahamian art, this idea of the mask seems to so often be somewhere. And, you know, there's so many ways it comes into play. Part of it is, again, the African mask being like the most most known form of African art. So if you're trying to like think about your roots or you're Googling what is African art, you know, but then also the idea of the mask of having to perform, right, as living in a tourist country or then as a person of color living in a majority white country, right, how you have to perform and how you have to. So it's really interesting that I find it really fascinating that it's something that is of interest to you when, you know, like artists that grow up here, it's something that you really see in works. You know, like, yeah, that makes sense that somebody's going to be thinking about masks, but that you were born and growing up in the States still had this like somehow umbilical connection is really fascinating to me.
Yeah, it has something to do with like African music or even in reggae or something, you know, like, or calypso, the polyrhythms where multiple things are going on, where there's one with rhythm coming at you in one direction and another in another direction. Or, you know, it might have to do also with like code switching in the way we speak to each other. We might speak to family in one way and speak to strangers, or how we present at church versus how we present in the office could be different.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. So what was your first, where did you go study?
Oh, well, college was in Boston at the Museum School in Boston and Tufts University. And actually, when I was at Tufts as an undergrad, Dwayne Sands, who's your minister of health, was finishing school there.
Oh, wow.
And Dwayne used to come and visit our family quite a lot, spend time with us, because he and my father, his father and my father were close school friends. His father's name, Basil Sands.
Yeah, well, we're all somehow, right? And that's the funny thing. It's like, you know, in the States, you say 6 degrees of separation. Here, it's like two. Like, you can normally find a cousin who went to school with someone, or someone who worked with your dad, or, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing.
So I studied art as an undergrad, but I also had to study liberal arts. So I have an undergraduate degree in English literature and another one in studio art, in fine arts. That's because my parents, you know, my parents were conservative and practical, and they're like, well, we don't know about you being an artist. We're not really sure if that's going to work out for you. So please study something else. And I learned a lot about self-reliance there and started my own gallery with my friends when I was an undergrad. And we showed other friends' works in our living room and in our kitchen. And so when I got out of school, you know, I did internships at the Smithsonian Museum. And I eventually got a job working as the office manager of a small nonprofit space. And sort of one thing led to another, where I became an associate curator of a much bigger institution, but all the time concentrating on my work and showing my work as an artist while also maintaining this identity as an arts administrator and a curator, and not mixing them, because I felt that there's something ethical about not mixing them.
Yeah, no, it's true. I think that's smart. But it's interesting that at the beginning you said people always say I'm talking about other artists or supporting other artists. And in fact, when you look at your career, it's actually what you've been doing. Because being an arts, as an arts administrator, that's exactly what you're doing.
Exactly.
You know, yes, the artists make the work, but believe me, there's like a team of people behind, you know, right. installing the shows, writing about it, you know, running the museums, caring for it, making sure they survive. And that's like a huge kind of, again, support system really right. for artists. So in a way, you've made your career about supporting.
It has been a career based on that. And I feel like now is a really interesting time because I feel that all my years of supporting other artists is now about to really come back to me, where I feel that a lot of people are looking to support me.
Yeah.
And that's been really great. So yeah. So my first exhibition as a solo artist, probably 1998, was 75 drawings, 2 sculptures, and a photograph. All the drawings were based on African masks mm-hmm. and sculptures. My next show, a couple of years later, were photographs that actually, where I was wearing masks that looked like KKK hoods.
That's the work I mm-hmm. saw, but they were made out of different fabrics,
they
right?
Were they made were made using out of like African fabrics from and, West yeah. Africa.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was very interested in that because as an undergrad at my liberal arts college, I got to study the art and Africa, the mm-hmm. art and culture, song mm-hmm. and dance of West Africa, especially Ghana and Benin.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my father came to see a performance that I did with the African drum and mm-hmm. dance group at school, and he was really, really impressed. And the next time he came to Nassau, he sent me a postcard. A couple of postcards from Nassau, one of Junkanoo and the other one of people doing the limbo.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember he, you know, my father is not someone who's very emotive. I think that also comes up with growing up as a British subject or something. But that he sent me that postcard is always very, very, it's impressed me very much.
A stiff upper lip.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so then your most recent position, you sort of went through your career really sort of, again, always being an arts administrator, is in this position of the Dean of Graduate mm-hmm, Studies mm-hmm. at the School of the Art Institute of Chicago, which yeah. is really one of the best art schools in the country.
Maybe in the world, actually, because it's the last school that's connected to a large encyclopedic museum, the mm-hmm. Art Institute of Chicago. Mm-hmm. And the school's been around for 150 years mm-hmm. and provides a lot of support for their students. It's been really great.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that led me to that is that I was a practicing artist and mm-hmm. showing and winning some very large awards, the Guggenheim, the Pollock Krasner, the Joan Mitchell Foundation Award, and others. And
which school- are all like... top-notch awards. I mean, that's like the creme de la creme, the Guggenheim and mm-hmm. the Joan Mitchell are all really important ones.
And the best schools want to have faculty yeah. with good right. CVs.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they basically headhunted you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in a way what brought you down. I mean, you've been down many times. We can tell the story of how we met later because you come down often and we've crossed paths often and become good friends as well in those years. But you're down for a specific reason, and you've been here for a few days to do with your position of Dean of Graduate Studies at SAIC, and we'll talk a little bit more about that after the break, okay?
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for being here. I'm speaking with Arnold Kemp, who is a practicing artist. As he said, he's won prestigious awards for residencies and scholarships and has also had a practice as being an arts administrator and is currently the Dean of the Graduate School of the School of the Arts Institute of Chicago. I always have to look at the SAIC in my head and figure out what it stands for. And it's currently down doing work with Bahamian students to encourage further connections between the country of his family and the country where he's living now. We're going to hear more from Arnold after the break. You're listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the executive director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to be right back after this short break.